This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Some states now.
Because of the language barrier?
Yeah. Hey. I can't understand what they're saying.
He's out and about in a boat.
The police department has a boat.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Charlie Brown when I go to kick the football.
Yeah, somebody pulls it out.
You mean I can quit running over dogs on the street?
No.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
see, it's your birthday month.
I didn't bring it up. I would like that on the record.
Time two.
The mayor did not bring up Kate Farmer's birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, I've been struggling with it.
Just let it go.
Well, the previous decade was quite easy. This one, I'm not so keen on this one.
Well, you'll be fine.
Well, I have to leave him the next one. Yeah, I know that's true, actually.
You're only 45.
Yeah, one more time.
We missed you.
Okay. I don't know where everybody else is, but
that's one. It's just one.
Who's one? Is that? Yeah. That's such a contest.
Morning.
We haven't even got started yet.
Oh, good.
Good morning.
Happy
day after April Fool's. Enterprise funds, rate structure, and fee schedule.
So, I asked Julie to put this on the agenda, and not that I want to raise funds right before our biggest usage was summer, but I think we really need to have it on our mind that this fall we take a look at it. Seriously, and maybe that'll give us a chance to do some PR and talk about why it's necessary that we can fund our services because we haven't raised them in how long?
It's a water treatment plant.
Which was before my time, so I have no clue.
We haven't raised it since I've been here.
Yeah.
I think it was 07. Yeah, somewhere in that change.
2007 is right in line with the comp plan. So I just want to keep bringing it up, and I don't know if we, when we discuss, I think it would be great if we did a gradual increase, not only on the water rights, but on a decrease on phone call.
Allotment or the entitlement, the gallons that are entitled in your base. Yeah, I could see, if nothing else, the structure of the way we give away so much water. And then, so I put what our code book says about water, sewer, and garbage, so you can look through and see if there's, it's a good time to study all of them.
Julie, do you know off the top of your head what the current rates are?
For your base rate?
Yeah. Or is it spelled out in this check?
Well, yeah, so water is $39.75. Sewer is $20 a month. And then garbage is $20.60.
Okay.
Maybe I have those two. $20. So we do give a little discount for those over 65, just on the water.
And how do you know that? Do they have to come in and tell you?
We make them sign a Golden Age certificate, and also a disability if you. That we ask for a doctor's note.
Gotcha.
So, I guess on the water and sewer, I know maybe this isn't the right place to talk about it, but the landlord agreements, is that a pain in the butt for city hall?
Well, so every year in the legislature, there's somebody that must have some property in Laramie, and they don't want They don't want to be responsible for the bill. Our ordinance is written now that if you own the house and you rent it out, you can let the bill go to them. It stays in your name and then it's in care of your renter. But you sign a landlord agreement that says, in the event that the renter doesn't pay, I understand I'm responsible. Which, I mean, I think if you're going to rent something, you should just build it into your rent and just take care of the bill. You know. But they let them do that. I would never advocate for, and they try, this senator always tries to get us to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, let's make it so that the landlord is not responsible for it, because what's happening in Laramie, you get kids renting and they don't pay the water bill, and then they go down the street and rent from somebody else and they leave the bill. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure it's all, I mean, that's a good example because it's college kids, but every town struggles with this. But I really like the way we hold the landowner responsible. Well, and that's the thing, they sign it. We don't want to put it in the renter's bank account.
Backup of the landlord. You should get up at night and leave. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah, it's a good idea. So that's our next assignment, is to study where we're going to go with this.
I was going to say, what is the best thing for everyone to come back and with the research as to what we think that our written case should be? Yeah.
So I have several over the years that I have thrown out to council of trying to change it, and I can dig that stuff out. Or we can do, a lot of other towns, there's this Carl Brown rate study, and he comes in and analyzes everything in the age of your infrastructure, and first thing he's going to tell you is to drop down the entitlement units to 2,000 or 3,000, and I think, was it Mountain View that said it's zero. You pay a flat rate, and you get no gallons. And after that, every gallon it's like $3.30 per gallon. You know, that's how they fund their stuff. So that's Mountain View.
I mean, we sat down and looked at just a handful of examples there, and what did we come up with? 3,000 is the average household usage. I mean, for a family of three-ish.
And then when you go into summertime, people that water, I mean, those people with nice green lawns, they're going to pay.
I'm going to say, Gomer, your lawn, do they usually panic when I see out there mowing, thinking they're going to throw a spark or something?
I'm trying to keep the fire danger down. Very responsible.
The less you water, the less you have to mow.
And so we may need to take a look at some of our general building standards in Chapter 29 then, because we require landscaping.
Well, they can have hardscape.
No, it says you can't. And so it says that's not acceptable. It's right in there, like a rock theme, so we need to probably take that out of there.
Or modify it. And or.
Yeah, and add something about zeroscaping is an acceptable.
Especially in years of drought.
Yeah, which seems silly to me, that whole thing about it says, because in there it actually mentions something with trees and grass, some sort of a drip system in there of some sort. So I always thought that was kind of silly in that, but why don't we promote that more, which is becoming more popular anyway, but we'll take a look at that. And
but John, would you like me to reach out to that Carl Brown, see if he wants? I mean, I know if you want, no, you'll pay for that. And then he defends it at a council meeting, tells you, so that you have a nice public statement of what it is.
I don't think we need to go that far. I think if we just do some research on our own. And it almost, is there like a general return that enterprise funds are trying to look for, percentage-wise or anything? Or I guess that's where the Carl Brown would factor in your infrastructure and depreciation of all that stuff, too. But there's going to be a simple way to return that we can calculate on that enterprise fund to make sure that we're putting away sufficient reserves and covering bills and everything.
Yeah, I think we Because that's one of the questions that's circulating through my colleagues is, you know, what is your, how much do you have in reserves? And are you doing a percentage of, you know, what it costs to operate each fund and even your general fund, or are you doing just so many months, or are you doing your shared, and I think they just put dollar amount, and then just every year try to get to that dollar amount.
Gotcha.
How hard would it be to develop a distribution of water usage in the off season and then in the season? In other words, I'm envisioning that we have to pay attention somewhat when we set that minimum for the 39 or whatever it is. You have to know about how many of these people are likely to hit it in the winter time and how many don't. Same thing in the summer. I mean, what's, I'm sure it looks different in July than it does in.
Right.
In,
so I think I'm sure that we have reports that we can set the fields, you know, like if it's over or whatever. But as soon as we get the new meters, I think you're going to be able to see that real easy.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of analytical stuff.
But it would take us a year to get that data.
With the new meters, but our software won't change. I mean, what these new meters will, I mean, I think that's, the new meters will probably be easier to pull the information, but that's real time, I guess is what I'm saying. And if we still have the same accounting software, so I can still analyze how much usage there is. I just have to, you know, how you, if this is null, you know, if this is, it's going to just take some.
Do you think a person ought to wait till all these new meters are in before you make big decisions on this, just to see how many of the meters that are in now maybe aren't working correctly, or and see if the water usage changes when all these new meters come in? You know, maybe it'll be a more accurate count of waters, and that would set the enterprise fund, you know, maybe with all these new meters in, all of a sudden, wow, look, we've got this much more money because all the meters are working. I don't know if there's a problem with the meters now.
Well, here's the thing, even if you have problems with the meters, we're giving away 10,000 gallons a month for $39.75. So we get them working and they're using 3,000 gallons, there's probably not more money. You're still, I mean, they'd have to really be using water.
I think we're going to find out we're using a lot more water than we.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, that's why I said if we start our studies now and research, but not do it until after peak usage season, you know, so that should give us enough time for the new meters to be in and operate.
Just have an idea of what's
right.
Going on.
That sure helps explain it to the residents because they flip on their sprinkler systems and then you change the, like we've done that where we increase the water rates July 1st. And they're like, do I have a leak? What's going on? And I was like, well, you turned your sprinkler on and you got caught right in a rate increase.
Yeah, we could even do it, can we do it January 1? Does it matter on the accounting software when we do the increase?
No, it's just, it's just only half a year of revenue then.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I remember the water and sewer spreadsheets that they did for the rates. They did work pretty good, but that's been 4 or 5 years ago. That might be beneficial to bring those back out and confuse everybody. So.
On top of it all, what's the first question they ask in Cheyenne if you go for a grant?
When was the last time you raised your water rates?
What are you doing to help yourself? Okay. Anything else on enterprise funds? Future specific purpose tax.
I also asked that this be put on our agenda. I think if we identify what we're trying to fix and so that the public knows that it's going to get fixed right away, that and start now so this can be on the ballot.
my thoughts are, yeah, last time the public wasn't supportive of it, and I don't want to make it this in for the public and tell them, no, we're not going to do it. I want to put it to the voters and let them decide. But last time it was all in city. This time, if we could get some money for the town of KC and Johnson County on there, I think it would be easier to pass if we combine all three entities into one specific purpose. But that's, we have to get two or three entities to approve it anyway. So, but last time they said, oh, we don't have any projects, so that city collected all.
So that statute changed a little bit. You have to have the commissioners do it, and then it would be us.
Yeah.
Before it used to be you had two out of the three.
Yeah, now. So now KC's optional, but they...
But if the commissioners don't pass the resolution. But to your point about having something for everyone, I don't know that I agree with that, because I've seen that it just gets too big and people say it's never going to sunset. And
I still think regardless, we need to keep it like 7 to 10 million total. We don't want to do a large amount, do a smaller amount again. We'll go off in 2 or 3 years, and whether we get all the money or however it works out, I guess.
I also think by identifying what it is you're trying to do with that money gives people more of an incentive to either vote for or against it. I mean, if they can see a need in that, and we talk about the price of concrete, asphalt,
we have to specify which projects we're using. I think that's all we have money left over now in the fund that we couldn't use the last few projects that came in under estimates. I definitely think we should move forward, and I don't know when the cutoff is for the county clerk to get it on the general ballot, probably.
Yeah, we put it on the general election, and I think it's like 70 days before it has to be to the clerk, 70 days before the election.
That's like the first week of June or something. We have to get the resolutions done in probably by the middle of May, or I don't know. I remember last time we were scrambling that spring to get it done in time to meet the deadlines. But
I don't think there's a shortage of projects. I mean, if we put our heads to it, there's a lot of roads that need repaired and water lines, and it's just a matter of digging up which is the worst.
And even if we're not doing Main Street water line until next year, that was one option too. If we have to do that as part of YDOT's project, our $1.5 million we're putting into Main Street, that maybe some of that could come from this 6 penny, because it's not like we get to choose when to spend those money. We have to spend the next year as part of the project, so. But then the timing might work out for that.
Are there any specific 1% projects, Kevin, that you could think of that would go to the top of the list?
I actually do have somewhat of a list. I don't have it with me. So I'm not real familiar with it, but there's plenty of things around town. Water line, sewer line, roads. I mean, one thing, you know, we had that our issue down there on Burrick last winter. You know, a couple blocks of water line that needs replaced. There's several other places around town. We want to go. That, or if we want to go big, if we look at ABCD streets, all of those streets are old streets. I mean, do it all in phases, but there's plenty.
See, I think that is something that people could visualize and vote for. Root for the they're going to take. And then that money that's still left from the last one, instead of just dreaming up more to do with Fetterman, Burritt, that one section of Burritt, Fetterman, and Flatiron, instead of just, putting in Streets of Gold now because we have to spend the money, we could write the ballot question that the money from the remaining funds would go towards us. So that puts us
ahead, and you could get started right away then on like A, B, C, D, and people would know that those, that's what we're voting.
Well, yeah, DeSmit was rebuilt there 25 years ago.
Yeah.
We dug it down 3 foot and rebuilt it, but the surface is getting bad, so that might...
And that street gets a lot of use.
But that DeSmit might be just mill and overlay or something, and where the other ones need to rebuild, because they were they were gravel for years, and they smoothed the gravel and chip and sealed over the 100-year-old base. But yeah, that would... And would we pave the entire width of Carrington, or would we be 100-foot wide? Yeah, that's a pretty wide street. Got the boulevards back in the middle.
And do we narrow them going forward?
You don't say that in front of Gomer.
Mainly,
we put the train down the middle
mainly
like it was supposed to be. The train is supposed to run right down the middle of Carrington. This original.
Is that where I was?
Perfect, I think.
It's nice going to you, Terry.
So, yeah, maybe we can get that list together.
Well, let's make it 4 lanes then.
We just divert all the DeSmit traffic on Carrington. So we have 4 lanes down Carrington instead of 2 lanes on DeSmit.
While we're engineering the streets, anything else?
Not on that one. She has more.
Do you sleep at night?
No, but I live with.
So, capital improvements plan. This is Till.
So this came up when Brent Moore was giving information about the land use plan, and he talked about the CIP, and they have a really pretty fluffy dashboard, but we pay for it. And my question is, can we just keep our own list? Isn't that what we used to do? And can and they get the information from us? I mean, I'm not sure it's something that...
I don't think we need to pay for them to create it, because they basically...
Get
this last time, they basically asked all the department heads, what do you want on there? And they compiled what we told them anyway. And they... I didn't see where they went out and searched and came up with new things that we hadn't thought of.
Yeah, I think when it was... peddled to us. I mean, we knew we needed to update our capital improvements plan, but it was, when you have this, we will identify funding sources for it and everything. Well, then when it came down to it, it's like, you want new cars? What's your funding source? I'll put it on the list. Okay, so.
I think we could update that. Or
ourselves.
Probably.
How about your fancy software, Airtable?
I'm looking into that, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what they were using, but I think we can come up with something similar. As far as the dashboard goes, to do that.
But in our old one, it was just a spreadsheet.
Right.
Yeah.
But it had column one, column two. You know, this was year one, year two. That worked.
Yes. No, I think we could do that and try. We could church it up just like they did.
We added 6 or 10 things a year for the future and crossed off 6 things a year we did that year and just kept updating the spreadsheet. It wasn't a major change. It's maybe a dozen things will be added on that we for future years and
so
cross off our stems.
I think we should get together then and look at what we have. We should adopt the next five year capital improvements plan, and then we'll have council adopt that. But we'll do that kind of as we do our budget, so we can dust that off and update it. Sorry, Brent.
Maybe have a rough draft for us next month at department head, and then we can be prepared before budget season, before the budget passes a month later.
I mean, really all we're doing is updating, adding another year, I mean, at the end, or then maybe switching things in year 4 to year 3 or whatever we need to do.
Well, I think it's real important that it has to be malleable, because we don't know when things are going to come up, like the Delaware Erie projects. I mean, sometimes you just don't know. So it's got to be fluid. You know, when something comes up, we move something else to the next year or whatever. But I think that needs to be in our control, and we edit that and we decide.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Easy.
Buffalo Bulletin Water Notice Wells Project.
This is me too. So when I got the paper last week and I read this, the public notice that's in your packet about the water, and it didn't give me an information. I don't know, this kind of scared me. Anything, if I'm drinking the water, could get cancer. I think that's a terrible, I mean, and we didn't know about it or that it was coming. But to me, this is a perfect instance where we switch over to the Wells water. And I also, after we left our last work session and we talked about other projects that, you know, maybe the Wells project wasn't critical, I'm thinking maybe it really is critical. And if the other thing, just for the flavor of the water, there's two times a year that I can't stand drinking Buffalo water, and I love Buffalo water. Once in the fall with all the leaves and once in the spring. And if we could just turn it over for a few days or whatever. That
blend it with.
Blend it, whatever. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Another thing I think with that is that you're using that well at least two times a year, so that it's also regenerating itself, whatever.
Yeah, and it'll get used more than that. I mean, but yeah, it definitely would have helped with this situation.
But I can't stand starting something, and I know it was future councils, and we're not supposed to be bound by future councils' actions, starting something and not finishing it. I mean, I wasn't there for all the discussions, etc., but I do think it's a good idea, and this notice, I think, speaks to that. And then also just looking at, you know, we don't have that crystal ball to know what kind of catastrophe that might affect our water supply. And I think that's why we have a backup, is we don't know. So I think it's good planning. I think it's part of an emergency management type thing, is we have this in our hip pocket. It works. We're using it. It's good to go. So I guess I'd like to bring that back on the table as a possibility of.
So is that a special tax? Maybe? Can we put that on?
Well, so here's where we're at. We did, and you can speak to this maybe more, but we did ask them to carry forward. We have partial funding for this. We thought it was enough before, but the cost has gone up and all this. And we asked the legislature through the Omnibus Water Bill to roll it forward, or, you know, so we got a 2-year extension. It didn't make it through the legislature. But we are, it's time to, if we're going to do this.
We're bound to using, I mean, we've got till 26th, or we're going to lose that funding anyway. So it's not like we can wait a long time to try to come up with the money to do it. So,
so I guess
what it boils down to is either we pay for it or pull from reserves and do it, or we don't. It's kind of our options.
And I guess what I've known, it's, we've been talking about this for my 7+ years on council, and I wasn't even on council when they did their original studies for regional area water system in Buffalo, and they started identifying that. I got on about time when they're identifying 5 or 6 alternatives for supplemental water, and this is the one that came out on top, and the one that the state thought was important. But I've been following the water bills from the state and stuff, and they, Wyoming Water Development, the governor, everybody keeps saying that we are, main priority in Wyoming is to provide supplemental water for all communities. This is their number one priority, but we got the bad end of the deal because we did our design work when the prices were low, and the way the economy's changed and everything now. At construction time, our material costs are double, and we're getting. I still think with what the way the state, that there's some way we can pressure the state to at least cover some of the increases, because it's, yeah, they clearly identify this is what they want to do, and they want to help us with all these water bills, but we get stuck with $1 million extra because prices went up so much, and I don't.
Well, when we raise our or change our fee structure,
yeah,
we'll just have to set it so that we can replace some of these reserves if we move forward with this project.
been a long time planning. I think it is.
Is this something we're adding to the water? Was added too much or something? Or we're treating it out of it?
It's just last year was an exceptional year. It's chlorine, basically.
Right.
What it is. So we had to add a lot more last year because we had high turbidity all year, high organics, abnormally high rainfall, low water usage. So we weren't running water through our system. People weren't watering. So all those things affected. I mean, it's a problem that we've seen before, but it's never got to this point because, like I say, last year was an abnormal year. So it's an average over the whole year.
And this is based on one
tap.
Water test, right?
No, it's a quarterly. It's the whole year's average. And so usually when we might get close to them, like if you get the whole year, you fail it, then you have to put the ad in. That's my understanding. So that's where we're at now. But it's not to say we haven't maybe failed it in the past, but it's only one, so it averages out as the year goes on because, summertime, dry year, people are watering, we're using water. We don't have that, we're flushing water through the system, which is what we're doing now to mitigate the problem. And those mixers that I've talked to you about installing in that tank on French Creek will also help so that we don't have to add so much chlorine to keep that mixed up in there. Because it stratifies in there, if you will, is what it does. So if you get high chlorine on the bottom, nothing on top, so that causes a problem too with our readings. So we have to bump it up to get the higher chlorine. So there's a lot of things that
right.
come into play in this.
Yeah.
And again, it's not an emergency. It's not,
Right.
Very long, but.
But still.
It's the thought of it.
Yeah, well, disheartening to read.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think on the Wells project, I think. The thought about it, I think we just need to move forward with it. My personal opinion.
To vote on this tonight? I mean, we have the documents from the state that we have to sign to say, yes, we want to move forward with that money that we have. I mean, so we need to send those. And then we are, isn't it DEQ?
We're about done. About got the DEQ permit to build. That's about complete.
So we'd be ready to bid in a month or two.
We're ready to go.
What?
Then
what kind of changes to the water plant? Say you just kick over these wells. What kind of changes to the water plant do you have to go through from surface water, well water, anything?
Nothing.
It doesn't care what's coming in. It does the same stuff.
Yeah, the wells dump into the generator pit.
Yep.
And so it's the same place the other water
dumps in.
Yeah, the plant just cares. It gets water. It doesn't care how.
Yeah, we can obviously we can run straight well water, or we can blend the water. Or
and at one point, I think Lesson said, yeah, if they mix 10% with water, it helped.
Mm-hmm.
It was cheaper to treat because it had added some of the mineral. It added something to with the well water. We don't get the surface water. But yeah, that's, well, you could minor mix or whatever. But
yeah, and the well water is pretty close to just drinkable straight out of the well.
I think we should put it on the agenda if we've got the paperwork.
Yeah.
Put it to the
okay. Now she's leaving. She's got
she's had her speech. She's gone.
Said my two words out of the council. Anything else? Johnson County Recreation District grant application.
I'll be applying for the pool chemicals. shy of $15,000, which is typical of what we apply for.
Those chemicals are spendy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've actually gone up from last year. Just imagine that. But, which, even if it's down a lot from what it used to be. And then, I don't know, we discussed playground equipment at one time. I don't know if that's the kind of thing we want to apply for rec board funding for or not. It's actually fairly pricey to replace the four or three pieces of playground equipment down in the park area. I mean, it's close to $500,000. But if we would just pick one of them, then the one that's in the worst shape is the one that's poolside, and that's about $130,000. But I guess I'm not sure if that's the kind of thing we want to apply, to the rec board for or not. So I guess I'm asking your opinion on that.
You don't know if you don't ask. I say go for it. Just
one?
Yeah.
Even if they only give us partial funding, it's still cheaper for the city. But yeah, those, I didn't realize they were that expensive.
Yeah, it's,
I know some of those old equipment is old because it was there when I was a kid.
Wasn't that long ago.
Go back and just put tires in the ground?
Maybe.
We did break our own tree all day. We could make our own merry-go-round.
Come down. We had to take that out. That was too fast. I think that's all I've got on it. Come here.
I guess, since this is an application for grant funding, do we need this as a resolution to apply for?
For the Jones County Recreation?
Yeah, I mean, does it need council action to submit for grant funding?
Well, I'd make a motion.
Just put it as an item on the
agenda? Put them on the agenda and make a motion to authorize Kevin to apply to Jones County Recreation District.
We had nothing on it until Friday.
Until Terry showed.
Terry said.
Sorry.
Major capital construction project.
So I got the number back from Rocky Mountain Power on the lights for Flatiron Drive, Flagstaff Way, and Cinema Drive. So that's...
Am I going to throw up?
No. Okay. I hope not. That's $34,456. So that's for... they'll supply the lights and run the power through the conduit and get the poles working. We also have to run the conduit, so this will be that's Rocky Mountain Power's part of it. We will have to bid out to have the pedestals put in and the conduit run to the power boxes. So I'm working on that, getting something put together for that part of the deal. But the Rocky Mountain Power, basically it's an invoice that we got from them. It's the kind of thing we have to get paid and sent back to them and paid, and then we go on from there. But so I guess my question on that is if everybody's good with that.
What streets did that cover?
So it's Flatiron Drive, Flagstaff Way, and Cinema Drive. So
the new road.
The new road. Just
through
the
yeah. Dark hole up there.
Yeah.
And this would come out of specific purpose funding. So yeah.
Right.
So I'd say we go ahead and approve that contract and get the money to Rocky Mountain Power, because they don't.
Yeah.
By the time they order the materials and get them, they won't be ready to do anything for 3 months. They're slow.
Yeah.
But then we can get another part bid out before then. So. Mm-hmm.
That was what's left over money
yep.
left over from the road project?
Yes. The specific purpose tax money. So that's on that one. And then for the Main Street project, we have to move some light poles that are going to be in the way of the ADA ramps. So the cost to do that is $15,881. That's to Rocky Mountain Power again. Now again there, we have to, you know, just, I guess what my thought was is that we could bid these two together, keep them separate, but the same electrical contractor, because we have to pay to have that done too. Have new pedestals put in and conduit run, the Rocky Mountain Power come back in, set the poles back up, and run the wire and get them going again.
Shouldn't that be on WIDOT? This is their project.
Yeah, that was my question. That didn't.
I mean,
it's not these black poles.
It's not the black poles. These are street lights.
These are regular street.
Just like the ones that we're paying to get put in here.
I feel like it should be Rocky Mountain Power.
Yeah.
They own the silver lights, and WIDOT's putting in the ADA ramps.
Yeah.
And we're paying.
Yeah,
that was my question.
Right, this little Main Street project that we thought was going to cost the city $250,000 now is costing $2 million. All the stuff we end up having to kick in.
They'd be glad to just take them out.
Yeah.
Answer to me.
That's the answer. That's what
yeah.
they said.
That's what they said.
It, and if it's not the black lights, and it's probably on the part they're going to be doing this summer, do we have to move forward with it quick to get in the mood to be able to?
I thought I'd bid the two projects together and try to get it done this summer. You know, this time the same contractor can do both of them, just to get it done. There's 5 lights, and most of the other
$3,000 a light.
It's on Main Street.
Yes.
Well, and this was just for Rocky Mountain.
That's just
yeah.
Rocky Mountain.
That's just
yeah.
Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
Plus, we have to pay a contract.
That's just the electric company come in, move a wire. Yeah, they.
We're going to increase our
and this
franchise
is,
fees on utilities.
And, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we ought to do.
And this is probably half.
If they want to move a line or put a line on a, down a street, double it.
Yeah.
Now you're talking my language.
So.
Yeah, do we need to approve both of those contracts?
Yeah, well, they're just
probably good.
They're just.
Invoice. We don't have a choice. We have to go with Rocky Mountain
yeah.
Power. We have to go with those.
Yeah.
We have to prove that part, and we can.
You'll approve it in your bill payment.
Okay.
But I just
that sounds
to,
good.
Wanted to make you aware of it. Make sure you're okay with it.
Sounds good.
Good.
Any more bad news?
Not at the moment, I guess. The meter replacement is starting. They're in town. I'm actually meeting this afternoon with Corey, the general from Metron, get that going. So people should be getting calls, and it's going to be starting. So and then actually, the other thing is this is on. The sunset. We're having that meeting on the 4th at between 5 and 6 at the library for the
pre-construction meeting of
So, to answer any questions that anybody might have, get that ball rolling. I think they're planning on starting May 1st.
Cedar and Spruce?
Yep.
And what time's that meeting on Thursday?
5 o'clock, 5 to 6.
Do we know when Main Street's going to be?
The 11th, April 11th.
Now, just as a reminder, that's infrastructure underneath, too, correct?
Correct. Water and sewer.
Surface.
Yeah, we're replacing the tobacco curb, so basically the curb stop
is
the city will be replacing.
We're going to take sewers clear into the property, too?
Yep, back curb.
Yeah.
And then that's, if people want to go farther than that, we're welcome to. It's something to get with the contractor on, and that will be between them and the contractor. But it can definitely happen during the project also. So
yeah, you're probably a lot of Orangeburg on those streets.
That's the reason. One of the reasons why we're doing it, because yeah, there is. It's old line.
Is there a gas line down
there? There is a gas line. think.
I kind of want it under the street.
But yeah, MD. But they're actually going to move that gas line. MDU plans on moving that out of the street.
In which section is that, the whole thing?
No, it's, I believe, it's in the Juniper to the end. It's in that corner up there. I believe is where it is.
So not a big section?
No.
I'm just wondering how long Gomer and crew are going to be sitting up there.
So how does that work in the layout? So you lay the new lines and make your final tie-ins on the ends, or are you just...
So we're going to do it.
Tear out the hole and put it in?
No, we're going to do section by section. The plan is to lay the new line and tie in as they go. It's kind of why I like with the... So they're starting at the bottom and working.
Mm-hmm.
Working up. And then... So... nobody should really be out of water for any length of time, because we can get the new line put in, pressure test, back knee, and then just tie in their service line. One thing that I might mention, it hasn't been an issue yet. It's maybe more of a budget thing, but I was thinking about maybe adding a little bit of money to get the CDL licenses. Since the law came into effect, we haven't had to get anybody their license. About the time it was time to. Or moved on, or so, but going forward, it's going to come up again. So I just thought I'd mention it that might be there.
What is it? Average cost to get somebody's CDL?
To go to like a 2-week school, it's $5,000, and that's they supply everything. Set them up with the test, they supply the truck for the test,
And that's just for the tuition that we have to pay for the
travel time?
And
we'd have to pay their wages, obviously.
Wages,
yeah,
and time. So
yeah, if they're going, say, if they're going to Gillette, the school I checked into was in Gillette.
So they could drive back and forth, and it's still, we're paying their
$5,000. $5,000 above.
Yep.
Plus expense, yeah.
Yep. And then, so...
Sorry, back on that. I mean, we go and say we pay for, I mean, which if we're asking to have it, we pay for it. Do we put it in there? Is there anybody putting somewhere they have to work for so long for us?
Well,
if we go get them a CDL and...
We actually have
it. We have that.
Oh, we do.
There's a reimbursement for 2 years.
Education type of
policy. Because we had the same thing with law enforcement. We send them to the academy and then get them all trained up and...
Just make them marketable for somewhere else.
Yep. Gotcha. Not anymore. States are over, really.
The other thing, so the water line broke under Clear Creek that goes to Duffy Bluff several years ago. Well, nobody's been in there, but that building is since sold. Hasn't came up yet, but it's going to. We actually, at the time when it happened, we tried to get somebody to come in there and bore under. We didn't have any luck with that. Well, since then, we actually found somebody that would do it. YDAC actually gave us a price on doing it. So they would go in and try to drill a pilot hole. If they can get their pilot hole through and get pulled back, we'll pull in a 10-inch casing for us to put our water line through. It'd be about $8,200. And if they're not successful, it doesn't cost us anything. So, and they, you know, we were going to dig it in. We were kind of waiting for low water to do that. Well, that never came.
We're still waiting.
So, yeah, so you're putting a 10-inch casing for an 8-inch line and
6-inch.
6-inch, so. Yeah. So if anything ever happens down the road, we can pull a new line and send the casing without spending this money again. So, so that sounds good.
So is that road schedule, is the county scheduled to redo that road this summer?
Mm-hmm.
So could it be done then while they've got it?
Well, this is over in the creek.
This is it's to the east of the bridge.
You can actually...
Never mind.
Where is it at?
East
of that from the bridge? East of the bridge?
East of the bridge.
Probably 50 feet.
Yeah.
Something like
40,
that.
50.
Gotcha.
You can see that it kind of goes this... It goes between the bypass and the sign down there on Duffy's side and straight towards the motel, I guess.
They call
I think there's a shutoff somewhere.
Is that? About the, I talked to him about it too.
Yeah.
The new owner?
The new owner.
Yeah.
They were wanting to test water over there.
Quite a lot.
Water to test.
Right now, yeah. Didn't you put a valve last year so you could, so
the
golf course could be on and that line could be shut off? So,
we put a valve in there to,
so we just
to isolate it. So that was the only thing with that water.
So you need $200 if it's successful.
Yep, if it's successful.
Yeah.
Like
the
card players.
Pretty
cheap.
Yeah.
I'm a card player, man. Let's go for it.
With a fire hydrant over their house, DQ let me give out the 6-inch instead of 8. I thought everything had to be 8 now. I didn't misunderstand that evidently.
Well, I mean, it is 6 now. So we're just tying back into the existing. I mean, we're not running all the way over there.
If it was a new one,
because we'll just get through there and then tie right back into the existing line.
Is there going to be another fuel station?
I'm not entirely sure what actually is going in there. I've heard so many different
things. I tried to pry it out and they said we don't know yet.
So, I don't. I
can't. I've once heard offices, but that's all. But I didn't hear any more than that. And the owner, I don't think they're from here, so I don't know.
They wouldn't let on.
I haven't heard any other rumors.
Do better.
I know, because I was like, do you need permits?
Need to start going to the early morning comic club. I'm sure they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Or they have an idea.
Is that county or city?
That's city. That's why. Yeah, we have to supply them with water there.
It was always a kerfuffle, because part of it was in the county, part of it was in the city.
No, that's city. That's the last
Lusher
lot.
That's
Mission.
The end of it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
There was something when they had that, you know, they were storing explosives, those trucks in the back, that made it a different designation back there, but that's not happening anymore.
Doesn't hurt my feelings. Storing dynamite back there.
I think that's all I got, unless you have any questions.
Legal?
Nothing.
Madam Clerk?
We have the animal care provider agreement on the agenda tonight. It's with, we received one bid. It's with St. Francis Animal Shelter through June of 2025 for $750 a month. Dennis, is your bid?
I had a visit yesterday from people at the Bighorn Kennel Club, and I told them that we had a deal with St. Francis. So.
I've got a couple letters too.
Yeah,
me too.
But you're supposed to demand.
Mandate.
Mandate.
I'm supposed to mandate. Does the mayor mandate that it happens? I didn't know I had that much power.
I had a conversation with Amber Eggers from the Chamber. We had had a couple discussions about the bus stop. Apparently that bus stop's been working on a lease that's been since like 2022, I think. So it's been kind of like a month-to-month kind of thing. And then so I expressed some of my concerns with the issues we've had with the bus stop, with a lot of the resources that it's required between us, EMS, hospital, sheriff's department. And so looks like they have given them a 60-day notice to move their stuff, so then the bus stop may not be there after 60 days. Just, you know, I had a lot of concerns with one where it was. I mean, nothing out there. It seemed like every call I got was somebody, you know, just the last one was five people needed to be kicked off the bus because the bus driver wouldn't move because one guy's smoking meth on the bus, and they let them out there, and then where did they go?
Well, that's kind of close-minded.
There's really no resources out there. It just, we found ourselves really dealing with a lot of bad things coming into town, and so I think that's probably not a bad thing that bus stop is going to be going by the wayside, so I'm all for it. So I think Amber agreed. They had a board meeting, and I think they also kind of agreed that it's time to let that lease go. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. I did have one question. I've seen that Wyoming Downs has their signs up now. Have you guys seen that? Do we know when that's officially going?
We don't. They haven't done their final. They still need to do a final with the state fire marshal and me. So, okay. But it's pretty close.
Yeah, I saw. So when I saw that, I kind of peered through the window and saw the machines and stuff in there. Because I hadn't heard a thing. So now all of a sudden I saw the sign up and so
see their advertising online. Kind of what it is, so.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. I mean they're real close. All they were missing some signage last week. As far as for the fire marshal stuff. So I mean they're
just about ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, I think that's all I really have right now.
Just talking about some stuff brought up and stuff. I guess McKinney, I know it's known in your office, but that is all city limits. So McKinney, except on the north side of the road,
right. Is
all city limits.
Right.
Just so you know, I don't know. The lady called once said she was shooting out fireworks, and I was like, well, you can't do that. She swore she was in the
city.
Right.
No, you're in the city. So everything on the north side on McKinney is city limits.
Yes.
Just a FYI on that.
Okay.
I don't want to answer that, something Kevin said, but Dennis, do you know where Bryce Fisher, the I-Dome thing on the annexation, we gave him 6 months to annex in?
Yeah, and I extended that. He asked for a year instead of 6 months.
I don't know if he wants those apartments back.
They're in the works, supposedly.
Yeah, but I haven't. I probably should write a reminder letter. That's been 6 months.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Now. So, McKinney and Sue, just so there's Spearing's apartments on the corner of Main, and then there's another set of apartments back there.
Tonight, special use permit for G Street. You guys are probably going to have a crowd, I imagine, here. It's what they're asking for is just a new residential on that old, that last lot on G Street there. And so they're going to have to exit from G Street. G Street, it's a, you know where the Pioneer Homes units are over here, the duplexes off of Lobin?
Yeah.
The owner of that is wanting to put another duplex on that old Fred Gray lot back there. So this went through planning and zoning. They recommended it for approval. So that's coming to you guys tonight. So I guess on that, we've established G Street as a
public way.
Public way. You're going to get some questions on plowing or how we're going to deal with that because they supposedly maintain it now, but that's on their own doing, I guess. We imagine we maintain it just the same as we do most other city streets.
Yeah. Well, the original plat had a street all the way to that property. Then they put that planned unit development where they built all those apartments and took over their portion of the street, I guess. But it's still a city street, so I said there was access to that back lot.
Okay.
It's crazy.
So that's what you'll see tonight.
Is it going to be made wider than what it is? Because it's really...
No.
It'll just be like it is right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And so they're basically adding another duplex, so two more households.
Not a whole lot more
we'll
than
that.
I don't think it'll be anything.
Is that part of the same people that own the rest of it, or is it somebody
different? No, it's somebody different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
John Ayers.
John Ayers.
They won't join the homeowners
association. Yeah, they asked him to join. They're not very happy that he wouldn't, but he has his reasons.
Part of that, because that's a planned unit development, their homeowners association is just for that PUD.
Right.
And there's three houses that only can be accessed on G Street, so that's why they, to make a planned unit development, they had to have access back there.
Yeah. I guess one question, why I would say my recommendation approval is, to approve it, but it's a B1 zone, and so in a B1, a permitted use is a bed and breakfast, so they can spring up a 10-room bed and breakfast there and not have to ask any of us for it. So, in my opinion, this is the least impact that can have on our neighborhood and keep traffic down, So, there are permitted uses that wouldn't take any of our involvement, and so I'm trying to, as far as my view, this is the best thing for that neighborhood if something was to go there. The least impact. So
residential.
Yeah, so that's what they're asked for, is a residential in a B1 zone, especially use on it.
So. B1, so it could be a gas station.
Could be a gas station.
Could be a mini bar back there.
Motel, hotel.
Could be a Dollar General. No, that's
my mind. Yeah. Yeah.
The other dots, another dollar company.
And then
they're basically going backwards to lower zoning, so I don't see a problem with it.
There was something else for Dennis, but
setback variance on that as well.
You guys don't have to approve that.
Okay.
That was basically contingent on your approval of the, special use.
That works.
Did you get that water connectors agreement I did you from Moffitt?
I was gone Friday. No, I didn't get it yet. Yeah. Thank you. That's all I got.
Scott?
I think we've covered everything that I had.
Mike, I'm okay.
I'm good, thanks.
I have problems.
You got problems?
No, the Trails Board was wondering if there's any way we could get the light fixed by the pool.
The trail right
push button.
Yeah.
It's a black pole light that's right by the, right before you get to the bridge, right?
By the, almost.
By the trail side.
Well, I think it's the light by on Angus.
The crosswalk?
The crosswalk.
The crosswalk.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice.
So that was a crosswalk. A couple of years ago, I know they had to replace the battery because it wasn't working.
And I think that's what they need now is a battery.
When, yeah, Sarah. Sarah Sexton came in, or somebody was, the vision impaired group came in and mentioned that that one wasn't working right.
Evidently, that was not working right.
Probably two or three years ago, we replaced the battery, so it's. Are they solar? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are solar, but they take a battery also.
Yeah.
That's evidently the same one. We may have another issue then if that's the case, because the other ones haven't had that problem.
Yeah, so I don't.
Okay,
that's all.
I had one more thing on G Street. The original agreement said that the developer would pave the G Street. Well, there's a 15-foot section on the very end towards Foot Street that never got paved. Can we enforce? Who can we enforce that on? Or has that ship sailed? Or
in which direction? Going north?
To the north to Foot Street.
To Foot Street from the.
Yeah, from G Street, there's like a 10-15-foot section that never got finished getting paved.
Well, the developer should do it.
The original developer, because now it's been sold to...
But that's where the new... They put the four new ones at the end down.
Yeah.
Because the new developer didn't pave behind his...
So it would be the new guy? Or, I mean, is there something that we could hold him to the fire on that?
Well, I think, he takes the obligations of the original developer. If he didn't do it, if that's where the property is, so if you give me the details, I'll write him a letter.
Okay.
That should have been in with the property deed when they transferred it. Should have been recorded that it came on him. But part of the PUD should be.
Well, PUD was recorded.
PUD still goes between the property owners.
The only other thing I had was the Fools board was starting to meet, so. I think they've extended an offer to the pool manager this year. Marjorie, somebody, I can't think of the last one.
Riddle.
Marjorie, somebody. So those meetings are starting. So Kevin, get a hard hat. Kevin's crew gets bombarded. That's it. Then they'll start moving forward and getting applications for lifeguards. And I think the same people are wanting to run the concession stand that did last year. So all I got. Pool season.
So I was looking at the agendas from the past 2 years for this meeting. I usually look back a couple of years to make sure we don't forget some housekeeping things. Tiffany Songer had come to this meeting the last 2 years to ask for a bonfire. She finally softened up Gomer and
that's a feat in and of itself.
I hear there's somebody coming in, they said, because
I've heard nothing.
They called one of our guys and he didn't know if it was a student or a teacher about this thing. I told him. Told him to tell them they have to come and ask for their permission. Nobody's been on the agenda. So.
Anything else with the press? Questions? Clarifications? Comments? Okay. You all in?
It's just a question of an overburden.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.